Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Our Savior Lutheran Church Sunday morning worship service. It is March 29th, 2026, Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion of our Lord. Welcome and thank you for being here. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 10 a.m. every Sunday. And those joining us by radio broadcast at 11 a.m., we welcome you and thank you for joining us for worship this day. Something important to remember coming up about our radio broadcast: for over 85 years, we have broadcast on 1380 a.m. radio, and that will be changing. The important date to remember is April 12th. That will be the first Sunday of our new radio broadcast call letters. And you can either find us on AM 1450 AM radio, or you will find us on 105.5 FM radio. That's April 12th. We hope to reach many more people with the Word of God in this way. We welcome our worship leader, the Reverend Dr. Roxy Davis. Myself, Helen DeTieri, will be assisting in today's worship. Our sound recordings have been provided by Jack DeTieri, and we thank our sound technician, Jeremy Brown, and we thank our vocalist, the lovely and talented Jennifer Hudson, who is a little under the weather, but will still sound absolutely beautiful. Today, we encounter the paradox that defines our faith. Jesus Christ is glorified King and humiliated servant. We, too, are full of paradox. Like Peter, we fervently desire to follow our Christ, but find ourselves afraid and denying God. We wave palms in celebration today as Christ comes into our midst, and we follow with trepidation as his path leads to death on the cross. Amid it all, we are invited into this paradoxical promise of life through Christ's broken body, his very love outpoured for us. We begin this week, Holy Week, which stands at the center of the church calendar year, anticipating the completion of God's astounding work.
Our processional gospel reading today is Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. And there are several who are going to help in this narration of Matthew 21. You will hear different voices, and you also have a part. Just make sure that you focus when Helen speaks and then puts her hands up. You repeat what she said. You are the crowd on that first Palm Sunday. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them,
"Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately."
This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet.
"Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting,
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking,
who is this?
This is the prophet Jesus
from Nazareth in Galilee.
Let us sing together, all glory, laud, and honor. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Let us confess our sin before God, who removes our guilt and blots out all offenses. Gracious God, for seeking worldly delights that deceive us and dishonor you, gracious God, for desiring self-reliance instead of hungering for your word, gracious God, for failing to recognize your coming reign and for hindering the work of the Spirit, gracious God,
have mercy on us according to your steadfast love.
For drawing from the well of self-serving ambition and for disdaining the living water Christ offers, gracious God,
have mercy on us according to your steadfast love.
For disregarding voices from the margin and for distrusting signs of your healing and hope, gracious God,
have mercy on us according to your steadfast love.
For dwelling in tombs of self-pity and discontent and for disregarding Christ's call to come forth to life, gracious God,
have mercy on us according to your steadfast love.
God's steadfast love, grace, and forgiveness abound. Through faith, the free gift of God, you have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. The Spirit of the one who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, pours God's love into your hearts, and gives you life and peace.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Let us pray together. Sovereign God, you have established your rule in the human heart through the servanthood of Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, keep us in the joyful procession of those who with their tongues confess Jesus as Lord, and with their lives praise him as Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The psalm for the day is Psalm 31, starting with the 9th verse. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I am the scorn of all my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. Like the dead, I am forgotten. Out of mind, I am as useless as a broken pot. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Our hymn of praise, Hosanna, Laud Hosanna.
Please rise if you are not disposed. Rise in spirit by remaining in your seat.
Today's epistle reading is from the Philippians chapter 2, starting with the fifth verse. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in the gospel acclamation. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name. And so it is the gospel reading, Matthew 27, 11 through 54. And this is the passion of Jesus Christ. And again, you will see different people taking different character parts in this scripture reading. So glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say that I am."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
But Jesus gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor Pilate was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
"Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him."
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
"Barabbas.
Barabbas."
"Then what should I do with Jesus who is called Messiah?"
"Crucify him.
Crucify him.
Crucify
him. Why? What evil has he done?"
"Crucify him.
Crucify him."
When Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather a riot was happening, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd. And he said,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves."
Then the people as a whole answered,
"His blood be on us and our children. His blood be on us and our children."
Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry Jesus' cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. And when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over Jesus' head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two criminals were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself."
If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.
In the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him.
He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he said, I am God's son.
The criminals who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me?
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
This man is calling for Elijah.
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to Jesus to drink. But the others said,
Wait, let us see when other Elijah will come down to save him.
Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the Roman centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
Truly, this man was the Son of God.
This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. I want to thank those who participated in the scripture reading today. It is my joy when I get to read scripture where others are taking the character parts. And this sort of comes alive, doesn't it, when they do. Let's pray together in preparation for the interpretation of in scripture. Oh, Lord God, we are grateful for the scriptures. We are grateful that someone, Matthew, wrote down what happened. We are grateful that we have this Holy Week, especially to think about you, about Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Lord God, help us to be attentive to you and your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In my opinion, Palm Sunday is one of the best Sundays in the worship year because you get a prop to hold during worship, a palm branch or palm cross. Certainly that means if the sermon is boring, you can fiddle with your prop, the palm leaf. Also, we sing glory, laud, and honor as we struggle to gently wave our palms and walk down the center aisle and or wave them from where we're sitting, remembering perhaps that we weren't gently waving our palms sometimes as a child because we sort of wanted to just hit our sibling with the palm. I don't know if you did that. This is my time of confession. As I said, Palm Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays. So let's begin. There are two gospel readings for today, and they are separated out. One we read at the beginning of the service, and one we read right before this sermon. And I believe that that separation tells us that Palm Sunday and Good Friday are separated by a week in Jerusalem. The processional reading, which we read at the beginning, and the passion reading, which we just read, are both from the book of Matthew. The processional reading tells about Palm Sunday, the crowd that follows Jesus into Jerusalem. The passion reading tells of the crowd that crucifies Jesus at Golgotha, Good Friday. The paradox of the procession into Jerusalem and the passion of the crucifixion is so well told in the introduction that Helen read today. So I'm going to repeat some parts from that introduction. Today we encounter the paradox that defines our faith. Jesus is glorified King and humiliated servant. We too are full of paradox, like disciple Peter. We fervently desire to follow Christ, but find ourselves afraid, denying God. We wave palms in celebration today as Christ comes into our midst, and we follow with trepidation as to his path leads to death on the cross. End of quote of the introduction. Yes, it is a paradox. Glorified King and humiliated servant. It doesn't always make sense. We come to worship, we say we believe in Jesus, and then Jesus leads us into places that are hard and difficult and sometimes scary, and sometimes we get afraid, not realizing that God is in it all, right beside us. God is in control and says to each of us, trust me, especially when it comes to Jesus' presence in this world and in your lives. The signs of Holy Week are an amazing show of God's sovereignty, God's power and control of everything. Today there is this paradox, king, servant, demonstrated by two different crowds in the gospel readings we have heard this morning. The processional crowd marches with Jesus down from the Mount of Olives into through the gates of Jerusalem. They are Jesus' disciples, Jesus' followers who had seen his miracles, and especially the miracle that had just happened with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And then there were people who had followed him, especially women from Nazareth. And people were already there in Jerusalem that joined the crowd. They were there to celebrate the Passover festival. This crowd spreads their cloaks on the ground and they shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Their fervor is a political one. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah who will save them from their Roman oppressors. They march towards the Roman guards and they carry no weapon, only palms, which are signs of peace. However, they chant a revolution. Hosanna, blessed is he, the King, who comes in the name of the Lord. The processional crowd misinterprets Jesus' godly purpose in coming. It is not to save them from the Roman oppression, but to save us, all of us, from the root of evil, our own sinfulness. It seems that between Palm Sunday and Good Friday, those days when Jesus is in Jerusalem, the processional crowd plays a really important role. The religious leaders are afraid of their devotion and their defense of Jesus. The Roman authorities think the processional crowd will stir up the people beyond their control. So the religious leaders and the authorities build up their own collection of people. They make their own crowd. They conspire with Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, gone bad. Remember the Last Supper. Judas leaves. Remember Jesus' praise in the Mount of Olives, and Judas shows up with this new crowd. This different passion crowd. They bring the Savior Jesus bound in chains into the city, to the house of the high priest, Caiaphas, and then to the Roman governor, Pilate. The passion crowd, passionate about putting Jesus to death, they taunt and shout for Jesus' punishment and demise by crucifixion. Why? Because they think he has blasphemed the very God they worship. He has claimed to be the Messiah, the one sent by God to save his people. The audacity of Jesus to say he is the Messiah. No wonder the scripture readings in today's worship are separated. This is a Sunday which features two crowds, vastly in their response to Jesus. You all played the part of both crowds, thanks to the leadership of Helen. First in the processional crowd, you said, "Hosanna, blessed is he, the Son of David, who comes in the name of the Lord." And the passion crowd shouts, "Crucify him, crucify him." The question is, were there others in that passion crowd, "Crucify him," who were like Jesus, who were like Judas, who switched sides? Were there others who had been caught up in the shouts of Hosanna, who later found themselves shouting, "Crucify him"? And we have to question ourselves. Just because we consider ourselves followers of Jesus in one moment does not guarantee we will behave like followers of Jesus when it really matters. I wish it was as simple as choose the right crowd and you'll be good. It is not that simple. Faith in Jesus Christ is not for sissies. Holy Week isn't easy. We find ourselves at times in the wrong crowd. Sometimes our faith and moral conviction has found itself in the wrong crowd. It is easy to get caught up in the joy, the excitement of Palm Sunday. And we know to march alongside Jesus that day, it took guts on their part. It took moral conviction. It took courage to shout Jesus' name, "Hosanna, blessed is the one, the King, who who comes in the name of the Lord, right in front of the fortress of the Roman domination and the ruling religious leaders. And besides that, it took courage because their friends and family were watching. Were those near Jesus risking their disapproval by courageously showing their faith in a man who claimed to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world? It took moral courage to proclaim Jesus as a revolutionary leader, one sent from God, one who is God himself. There's a reason the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, want Jesus to be shut up for good. He's a threat, especially to them in their influence over the people and their lasting leadership roles. But different from the processional crowd, the passion crowd lacks moral courage. No one, not even Peter, denying Jesus three times, stands up to question the passion crowd. Pilate, as you saw when Brad did it, Pilate washes his hands of the whole ordeal of crucifying an innocent man. Even his wife, played by Julie, has no influence on Pilate, telling him not to have anything to do with that man named Jesus. And she even says, that innocent man named Jesus. Even Pilate lacks the moral courage to oppose the crowd. He looks to the crowd for moral courage, but no one steps up. No one stands in the way of Jesus' crucifixion, and Pilate bows to the mob mentality. How many times have we been in both crowds, processional crowd and the passion crowd? I've been there and done that, walking with Jesus, but then it leads to the dangerous cross. We stand in front of injustice and cruelty, immoral acts, mistreatment of our fellow human beings, and we say nothing. We do nothing. We fail to stand up for what is faithful and true and just. And we do it with good reason. It is dangerous, too opposing to what others might think of us, our friends and our family, and maybe even our church. We look to them for approval rather than the approval of God. Let's face it, we are sometimes more afraid of our neighbor's disapproval than we are in our worship of God, not realizing that in the end, God is really the only one who matters. When we have been in both crowds, the processional crowd and the passion crowd, walking next to Jesus in a procession, then we find ourselves in the midst of those who would persecute. Each of us has to ask the question, do I have the courage to follow Jesus no matter where he leads? Today we shouted out the paradox of our faith, the processional crowd. We praise the glorified King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, which means save us, we pray. Today we all were in the passion crowd, jeering the humiliated Christ, crucify him. We say those words because we are all of us, are to blame for the sin of this world for which Jesus died. Our sin is evident to God every time we go along and don't speak up. And a neighbor or a friend or a stranger suffers. Our sin is evident to God every time we don't question the crowd or the leader who retaliates, disrespects, puts down, rejects those whom Jesus loves, who Jesus loves no matter what. To be a follower of Jesus means questioning the crowd. To be a follower of Jesus means making a conscious choice between crowds. To be a follower of Jesus means standing up when standing up might put our popularity, our reputation, and even our life on the line. To be a follower of Jesus means asking why some lives still aren't valued. Even God values everyone, all of life. To be a follower of Jesus means sometimes making the authorities nervous and sometimes making us nervous. I wish faith was as simple as saying, choose the right crowd. But Palm Sunday and the Passion of the Christ, which is played out in Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Silent Saturday, and Easter Sunday, those events are much more complicated, paradoxical, than just a simple crowd choice. We will at times find ourselves caught up in the wrong crowd, witnessing perhaps what they do, even perhaps participating in the suffering of our fellow human beings. When we find ourselves caught up in the wrong crowd, will we have the courage to speak up and to stand up? I don't know about you, but I know about me. Building courage takes a lot of practice. It helps to stand in a courageous crowd, like the processional crowd who took the risk to march with Jesus. And with that courage, we will proclaim the good news. Life is stronger than death, and love is better than hate. Even at the beginning of the story, as a processional crowd hailed Jesus in Jerusalem, Jesus already knew the crowd's courage would win the day. You see, Jesus is greater than any human leader, and the resurrection that we will celebrate next Sunday proves all of that, his greatness. So let us remember, even when all the world seems dark, build up your courage by walking daily with Jesus, who is the light of the world and can light our way. Though human rulings and destructive words seem to prevail in our world, though leaders and governments, friends and families may all fail us, God in Jesus Christ has promised to never leave us. The paradox of our faith in Jesus, both glorified King and humiliated servant, is all for our benefit and for our salvation. With palm branches, symbols of peace in our hands, let us courageously say to others in our lives, Blessed is he, Jesus, King, who comes in the name of the Lord. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe we have a hymn of the day. My song is love. And we're going to do 4 verses of this hymn. Thank you, Jennifer. Or sit, either way. Be seated. Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs.
O God, you announce words of grace and truth. Give wisdom to all preachers in your church, both globally and locally. Open our hearts to encounter the infinite life you offer in Jesus. Hear us, O God. You hold the whole universe, gather sun and moon, clouds and stars, land and sea, and plants and animals around the cross, so that all creation bears witness to your saving love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your power is sure. Bring to salvation all who are lost. Destroy iniquity and division in every place, and build your beloved community among all the peoples. Guide judges, attorneys, and juries so that they act with justice and fairness. Hear us, O God.